This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about Moody Tongue, Goose Island, Great Central, Peace, and then we dive into a bunch of beer news that's been happening, including some new beers that are getting released. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, it's going to cork pop out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are enjoying some great American Pale Ale this week. We got the Hot Butcher.
Dude, this beer is so nice, man.
Yeah, it's like swampy. Gross outside, and we're drinking the Grid from Hop Butcher.
Yeah, man, I love the label.
Yeah, it's a Citra and Mosaic hop, American Pale Ale, coming at 5.75%. I always see lots of pictures taken with their, is it the donut one or the chocolate one? It's that dog, the dog house one.
Oh yeah, I know you're talking about.
That one gets pictures all over Instagram. This one, not so much love.
Nice passion fruit on it, though. And I remember this is one of the ones that they really kind of put them on the map in a national magazine. I want to say maybe like craftbeer.com kind of picked this beer up. It's one of their best beers of
the
year, actually. Yeah, like one of the 100 best beers of the year. It was Grid. I noticed that. Yeah. They do it.
Yeah, first time having it. So, had you had this one before?
No, never had this one.
Only time I drink Hot Butcher, unfortunately, is here. I don't often see it or pick it up and drink it at home. I don't know. Or see it on tap anywhere. But that's just my limited circle that of the places I visit. But I always enjoy it when I do have their beer.
Yeah. Low bitterness. Mm-hmm. 5%. Yeah. Easy drinking.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we'll be making through these cans pretty easily. Well, if you're new to Chicago Beer Pass, what we do here is we talk about the beer we're drinking, beers we did drink, and beers we're going to drink this week. So let's dive into this past week, Nick. Where did you find yourself?
Well, I was back at Moody Tongue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was actually headed to Spring Awakening down there to meet up with the Corona guys. But the whole getting into Spring Awakening thing took a little too long for me. So I'm like, fuck it, what's around here? I was like, well, Moody Tongue's got a barley wine on.
Okay.
I'm like, good, because I've been out here for a half hour, and I'm sick of this shit, so I'd like this barrel-aged barley wine.
Yeah, and it was rainy and stuff, so I bet.
Yeah, it was a little gross. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sucked, man, because it's festival season. Like, you know, Anita Baker was up at Ravinia, you know, Spring Awakening, and
yeah.
a lot of gross rain out. Yeah, so I hung out in the swank digs of Moody Tongue.
Nice.
Hey, you know, they got a full menu now. You know how initially it was just
chocolate cake and oysters?
And yeah, that's it. Salty or sweet. And now it's like I'm seeing hot dogs roll out. You know, I'm seeing cheese plates. I'm like, yeah, they've got some kind of expanded menu. I think it's limited because it's not on their website.
Okay.
Yeah. But I dig that place. It's not the anti-tap room, but it's a tap right, but it's a tap room for people who might not necessarily hang out in tap rooms.
Yeah.
You know, like this is a tap room for you.
Why do you think they started that full menu now?
Yeah, I mean.
Before.
Yeah, right? Because it's kind of a destination, right?
Right.
Like, and then you go and maybe people I think the people demanded it maybe.
They're like, what are we, I can't eat oysters. I don't like, people don't like oysters. So there's like a large divide there.
Yeah, that's true.
If you roll in there before dinner, you're like, I don't want cake now.
Yeah. Although the cake looks...
The cake is good, but realistically, you can't even eat that cake. That
not
whole
on
cake.
Your own. That's a sharing size.
That's like, it's a 5-person piece of cake.
Yeah. Their tour is $20.
Okay.
It comes with one of the perennials, one of their standard beers. Mm-hmm. And, but they did have 4-packs. Everything they do is in 4-pack bottles.
Yeah.
You can get 4-packs of all their barrel-aged stuff for $30 there.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is the, gingerbread barrel-aged stout. The 16-layer cake has a bourbon barrel-aged version of the stout. Those sounded pretty interesting. Oh, and this chocolate barrel-aged barley wine.
Nice, okay.
Which is what I got. Yeah, and, you know, I remember kind of distinctly when it was in Pilsen when they or not where when Phobab was down there, and you know Bridgeport. The first person to greet me at the entrance hall was J.R. Rubin. Oh, and this was back when he was at Goose, and he ran me through all these beers, and one of them was a chocolate barley wine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I saw it on the tap list, I mean, it was reminiscent of, you know, and he won that day.
Oh,
he
won. Okay.
He won big. He won big that day. He won for barley wine and a stout at Phobab that day. So I was excited to, you know, it brought back all these memories when I looked it up. I'm in Spring Awakening. I'm like, fuck this. I'm looking it up, and I'm like, J.R. Rubin saves the day. We're going to Moody Tongue.
That's awesome. So was the barley wine as good as you remembered it from Phobab, or do you even remember it then?
Yeah, I was hoping for a little more. I was hoping for it to be a little more chocolate forward, you know, a little more extreme on the chocolate, you know. It was fine. It was mostly it was booze forward.
Okay.
Yeah, and everything else kind of hid behind a huge whack of booze up front. Yeah, it was good. It was. I just personally wanted more chocolate.
Oh, okay. Then did you get the chocolate cake?
I did not. I had a barley wine and split.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. Cheers to those guys, man. Because now they have, in addition to the extended menu, they have a one of their bartenders is in a band called Groovy Lou and the Time Capsules. So now they do live music every Thursday out there.
Whoa.
Thursdays from 8 to 10, you can catch live music. I love that place, man. They got it's a mid-century modern. They got this huge book stand with the fireplace and a bunch of all the books. When you look at them, they're all beer books.
Oh, okay.
Like really old
beer books. I never looked at the books there.
Yeah. So.
That's awesome.
Great space.
Cool. So you made it over there. I made a stop over at Goose Island and Great Central right there.
Not Malt Row, but what's?
Brewing District?
Yeah, the Chicago Brewing District.
It's hard to, if you're going to one of those, to not also go to, like, one of the other stops there.
They're, like, literally right next door.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I could do one beer at one and one at the other. I was going to Goose Island because I wanted the Fuller.
The Anniversary Ale.
Anniversary Ale.
Yeah.
But they did not have it at the Fulton
really?
Place, which I think, in hindsight, I think it's a pub only.
I thought it was for sure draft only.
Maybe it's draft only.
So I'm kind of surprised they don't have it. Yeah, because there's something about Fuller's is outside of their distribution network.
Yeah.
So they couldn't put a packaged beer out with Fuller's label on it.
Oh, okay.
Or with their logo on it, so it's draft only.
So maybe the pubs have a different rule than...
Yeah, that sucks.
I don't know. But I went there for that beer, and they didn't have it. So I was slightly disappointed. And so I ended up getting the Broya.
Bro.
It was like Bro Ya.
Bro.
It's their latest Fulton Wood beer. And it's a old style mixed with a goes. Right? Goose? Goes.
Goes. It was like a wheat or something and a goes, something like that?
And I missed the goes part when I was reading it. I was like, I stopped after like the first five words where it's like, ancient recipe beer we decided to bring back. Yeah. And I like, and then it's like, oh, blend it with goes. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, I should have kept reading because 90% of the time I don't want a ghost. Like, I don't want that, like, salty, sour taste. I don't enjoy it when I'm drinking. Especially, like, that was my first beer of the day, too. I'm like, that's the worst way to start. Like, I did finish. It was good, but it wasn't, like, anything.
Yeah.
I'm not recommending it, and I wouldn't have it again, but I'm glad I had it, I guess. I don't know. But they didn't really have a lot of options there.
Really?
Like outside of the Fuller, and they had they didn't have the Fuller, and then they were just having, like, the Three Sisters. They had 2017 Bourbon County on, but nothing like, whoa, man, I haven't had that beer.
Kind of wanted something experimental, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that Broha, whatever it is, was kind of filling that. I did have a funny, a guy behind me was with his friend.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to, like, drop some beer knowledge on this guy. I tweeted this out, too. But he tells this guy, he's, like, talking about their beers. He's talking about Goose Island. He's like, all right, here at this facility, he's telling them, oh, they used to have the barrels or the brewery across the street. I didn't hear if he said brewery or barrels across the street. Yeah. He's like, but now the only beer they brew here is Green Mile.
Oh my God.
And this, that's the only one they do here. It's its own yeast strain. It's different than all the other ones, blah, blah, blah. Christ. And I like, it took like every ounce of me not to turn around and be like, you're wrong. You're wrong, bro.
You're the smartest dude in the room, but you got all the facts wrong, man.
Yeah. There was so much wrong with what he was saying that it was just like, man, you just made your friend dumber by telling him this.
We are all now dumber having listened to this. You got to crawl before you walk, man. You can't be rolling around telling people that it's Green Mile. That's awesome, though.
But then they were like, he's like, but you know what? We're gonna get the barrel aged stuff. So we're gonna get pretty drunk here. That's how that went down.
I mean, at least he's trying. You know, he's trying to drop knowledge.
They didn't even have the Green Line on. They were sold out of it, so they couldn't even taste it, that Green Mile, if they wanted to.
The Green Mile, which was supposed to be environmentally friendly, and you know,
draft only Chicago.
Those alternative facts, all untruths there. With the Green Mile.
Right, and I don't even think they brew Green Line here in Chicago. I think that got. That's not even brewed here.
That might be Baldwinsville or wherever else they brew. White Plains.
It hurt. That conversation hurt me. I hear if you ever sit alone at the Fulton Tap Room by yourself on the weekend, people are dumb.
Are you
like, you will hear some conversations just to like, you're like, oh my gosh, either you've had way too much to drink and I haven't had enough, or you guys just don't know anything. It's a lot of people from out of town that go to that place.
Yeah.
They usually are on tours. It's a destination spot somehow.
I used to give Guinness a lot of shit. I used to give Goose a lot of shit because I went to Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, I saw Goose's tap room. I'm like, dude, you guys are all 50 states. You got a chance to build this massive tap room. You build this little ass tap room, not a whole lot bigger than the studio we're in.
Right, yeah.
And then they disagree with me totally. Then I went to Guinness and saw their tap room. And I'm like, well, if Guinness's tap room is this small, then I guess it's okay that Goose has a small tap room, you know?
I guess, but the Guinness, like, tap room and the, like, that big experimental or the experience?
No, not the experience. They have the Open Gate Brewery.
Oh, okay. I've never been in that one.
Yeah, it's like it's a really small thing considering it's a worldwide brand.
Okay.
Like it's not very big.
Well, they funnel everyone to that experience.
The experience is like the showroom. Yeah, that's like the showpiece.
But Goose doesn't have a...
Maybe that's what I meant. I feel like Goose should have like a showpiece tap room, you know?
I guess the Barrel Warehouse could be that, like where we recorded that little tasting.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of like a... almost like a event space.
Full-on event space, yeah.
But I would think a lot of people don't even know the Barrel Warehouse is in Chicago anymore.
Yeah, it's nondescript. All the Bourbon County is there, so it should be nondescript.
Yeah.
And, there's no parking. And, it's just kind of hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
It's like a legit warehouse. When you go in, it's like some state-of-the-art event space. But from the exterior, it's just a strip mall.
Not even a sign.
Yeah.
It's
a strip mall with no signs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you do drive over there, you're like, I don't think I should park here.
You start to second guess why you're even over there. Right? You're like, why did I come over here again?
Yeah.
Like, why am I over here?
Is someone going to let me in? I don't know. Yeah. This is not working. But then I, I walked over like two doors down to Great Central.
Oh, right on. And that is actually probably the most interesting stop on Malt Row, right? Because they got all the guys that they brew for. They usually have their stuff there, right?
Yeah. That space is funny, too. They got, like, a full-on security guard who, like, checks your ID when you get there.
Yeah.
He's, like, ready to go. If something goes down, he's, like, springing into action.
I swear to God, if this ID is fake, I will throw you the fuck out so quick.
But then that day he was like playing chess with the bartender. But there was like a handful of kids there playing Giant Connect 4 and the Giant Jenga, and it wasn't busy. It was just a weird mix, like going from Goose Island where it's kind of touristy, and then like Great Central, like two doors down is like people there with their kids, and so
yeah. That is a strange mix. It is.
I think just because, I think it's because Great Central is like a big space.
They got a great space.
Yeah. It's
like, oh, I didn't mean that. But I mean to do it like that. Oh, but they just have like really big ceilings.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then I love that I can get, you know, Beguile on tap and Maplewood on tap. And I think they got their own brand of stuff too, I think, right?
Yeah. They have like 4 or 5 beers that they do. I have had them and they didn't have anything new from them this time. So I ended up getting the Zip Zag mm-hmm. from Maplewood or that. It's really not from Maplewood. It's from Great Central, but it's for Maplewood, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's cool. I know we kind of like snickered at the whole idea of contract brewing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, we're just going to set up shop and be a contract brewer. And we were like, well, that's kind of weird. But it seems to be working out for them.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and yeah, and then Finch is across the street. Anything, when you walk past Finch, were you tempted to go in? Is there even a tap room? Or is it just a brewery?
I thought there's supposed to be a tap room opening this summer. Yeah. But I look and I don't see anyone going in there. I don't see any, like, welcoming things to, like, make me think that there's a tap room, so
yeah,
I didn't bother. Those are my two stops over in that area. Then the following day, found my way over to Peace. Always a good stop.
Always.
They got the mostly quarters. It's tasting pretty good. I also had one going out west or going west. Another, like, they have like multiple American pale ales on right now, and then they got the barley wine on right now. Just for you. They're keeping it on.
Moose Knuckle.
Yeah. When Nick comes in, they're saving it.
Man, I got up there on a live karaoke night and was a little nervous. I had 2 Moose Knuckles. And never again will I have two straight Moose Knuckles. Yeah, but fun stuff.
Nice. Yeah, that's always a good stop over there. Did you hit up anything else besides this Moody Tongue?
No, just my love affair with Moody Tongue
rolled
into the second week. Nice. Yeah, that's all I did.
Cool. Best thing you drank then? Mm. Was there a standout? Was it something at Moody Tongue?
Chocolate barrel-aged barley wine was quite nice. You know, I hit the Le Juice again.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit the Le Juice.
That's what I was going to... Opened up another can of that. That was probably the best thing I drank this week.
Le Juice is fantastic, man. Yeah. So, cheers to Alarmist. I think I'm going to go with Le Juice for best thing I drank
this same. Week. Yeah, same. Damn.
Because I got the Le Juice and the Pantsless. And, you know, the Pantsless is good with food. Le Juice is so good, I want it on its own. I don't want it with anything else. Mm-hmm. I just want to be outside with Le Juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it drinks really easily. It has that, like, nice bitter hop with the juiciness that keeps you, like, drinking it.
The beer integrity. For sure. It's not just a mimosa bomb. It's well done.
Yeah, nice. Cool. Well then, coming up this week, what do we got on the calendar? What's happening?
Let's see what's going on. We've got a feature event this weekend at Lincoln Park Zoo.
Okay.
This is another Lou Dog Events event. He came on the show and said he does like 15 events a year.
Yeah, I know. Last weekend was
like
Chicago Ale Fest, right?
Like 2 weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is Craft Beers at the Zoo. This is June 15th and Saturday the 16th, 6 to 10:30 both days.
Okay.
You can get an $80 option for VIP, $50 general admission. 75 beers at that thing.
Nice.
I went to that last year. It's nice because there's some adult rides there. Not adult rides.
What kind of rides? No.
It's, you know, there are rides there, like carousels, that sort of thing. And then there's all the different houses where all the animals are.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. You know, because what? Brookfield? It's either that or Brookfield, right?
Right.
I've been to Brookfield, and it's a fun... They have a beer fest, too. But you got to go all the way to Brookfield.
Yeah. But the zoo is a little better.
Yeah. This zoo's bigger, and it's...
Lincoln Park?
Yeah.
Than Brookfield, really?
I would say so.
Oh, I thought Brookfield's way bigger.
No, they were saying how they can cram like 13,000 people.
People, but animal-wise.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking just capacity for people, like who's got the most like animals and zoo stuff.
Lincoln Park Zoo is more of a park that's a zoo, and I feel like Brookfield's more, it's a zoo.
That's fair. They might actually have more like zoo things.
Right, because like the fact that Lincoln Park Zoo is free is amazing.
Yeah.
And you could just like walk by and be like, let's see what the gorillas are doing. Let's see what the mountain lions are doing. All right, I'm off to the beach.
Yeah.
Like just like a passing through, like I would we'd bike through there sometimes. Like, you can just zip in and out real quick.
Yeah, there's a lot of docks over there. Mm-hmm. You know, theater on the lake is right there. Cafe Brower is right there. Like, that whole extension is kind of like a cool, jazzy version of, like, Grant Park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Kind of.
Like, yeah. It's actually really nice over there. You can spend the whole day over there and just chill mm-hmm. on the beach pre or post.
Nice.
So, that event's this weekend.
Nice. You going to try to check it out?
Yeah, maybe. All right. Maybe. Kind of tired of doing adult stuff, man. I just want to go somewhere and drink all weekend like the old days, you know?
Like a kid would do, right? Like, no. Cool. So that's Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, that's Friday and Saturday. That's the only thing on my radar, man. You see anything else?
Friday is the Speak of the Peaches, or that's not what it's called. Revolution is releasing that new beer.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Impeach? No.
Freedom of the Freedom. Peach? Freedom of
Impeach
the Peach?
The president?
No.
That's a whole Public Enemy song right
Freedom
there.
Freedom of the Speech.
Freedom of the Speech.
But it's a peach session sour ale, or session sour ale with peaches.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing that over at the Kedzie location on Friday, basically from 2 p.m. to 11. This beer is going to be in cans. I hope it overtakes Rosa in sales.
Yeah. And they just flat out replace Rosa with this peach thing.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be my vote. That would be my vote.
Cool. So check that out. And I bet there'll be other like events and things like that around the city. So
it's week two of our
hate on Rosa.
This is week two of our unhappiness with the Rosa.
If somebody wants to come on and defend Rosa, I don't think there's anyone out there. But if you do, you're welcome to.
Right on. So
those are a couple events we have come this weekend. There probably are others, just those are the couple that crossed our paths this week.
For sure.
Well, then we got some beer news before we wrap up here.
Yeah, right on, man. Let's jump into it. Pitchfork is back. Pitchfork is at the end of July, Goose Island. Every year they do a beer with a band from Pitchfork, a collaboration mm-hmm. beer. This year it is the Japan Droids.
Nice.
Yeah. They're a Canadian outfit, so they came up with a Canadian pale ale for those guys. The name of the beer is the Hops That Heaven Built. Yeah, so this is old school, man. Chinook hops, and then they got something called Idaho 7 hops in there. But mm-hmm. then also it's a Canadian pale ale because they're using a Canadian Superior Pilsen malt and a Canadian Superior Ale malt, like a combination of the two.
Okay. I feel like they just threw that Canadian thing in there for the band to kind of, yeah, we can make this work.
They might actually just have the malts from from Wisconsin.
So this is being brewed at the Fulton location along with Green Mile.
Right next to, after Green Mile's done in the kettle, next up is the Hops That Heaven Built. Yeah. The coolest part about this beer is that it looks like all proceeds are going to an organization called RAIN. And it's the largest anti-sexual violence organization in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. Also, this is the first time in cans for a Pitchfork. It'll be released in cans, like at the festival.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so they do this every year, man. My favorite one up to this point in this series was probably the Run the Jewels one. It was just a big, over-the-top, hoppy wheat ale.
Nice.
Yeah. The only time they did one with a festival headliner was the Chance the Rapper one. No collar. That was a lager.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was
and
nice.
The like artwork for that with, I feel like the goose in, like a shirt or whatever.
It was the goose, but he had a he was like taking off the tie.
Yeah, something
to
that.
Symbolize no collar.
Yeah.
That one was pretty cool. Yeah, but you know this used to be a Heineken thing. Like Heineken was the sponsor for Pitchfork, mm-hmm. and you know. Those were darker times, you know. Nobody wants to hang out at Pitchfork and drink, you know, Heineken, skunky Heineken all day. So Goose comes in, they buy the rights, mm-hmm. and then boom, you know, not only are you getting like, you're getting collabs, but then you're getting also other Goose products and Virtue Cider products at the Fest versus just this Heineken business.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
An interesting thing about Heineken that I found out, because I was, I'll have a layover in Amsterdam coming up here.
Yeah.
The one reason why Heineken became so popular here in the U.S. because they were like the first brewery. They sent a shipment right before Prohibition ended. So they had, as soon as Prohibition ended, their boat like was landing on the coast. So he like showed up with all this beer and people were like, bam, all right, this is our beer now.
Happy days are here again.
So it was like perfect timing for them.
That's smart. And that probably the reverb from that never ended, it sounds like, right? Because mm-hmm. Heineken's kind of a staple in this country.
Right.
You can always find Heineken.
And it's like a classic look. It's in a green bottle. What, Rolling Rock tried to steal that a little bit, but I think, yeah, you usually think of green bottle, you think Heineken.
The silhouette of the green bottle with the little red star is very recognizable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't get a whole lot of silhouette value in beer bottles, but
no.
That combo is actually like pretty cool combo.
So I'm going to have to try a Heineken on tap in Amsterdam.
Probably tastes a lot better than the one you'd get.
Right? Here. I think it's just some sort of rule, like if you have beer there, you're kind of like a house rule, like you either have Amstel or Heineken.
Right on.
Not Amstel Light. Amstel.
Amstel.
Yeah, so. All right. Well, Heineken fact.
we're full of these tidbits on this show.
Lots
man.
Of green facts. Green mile. Green bottles.
Yeah. One more bit about Pitchfork. My favorite beer is probably Fort Cone, which, you know, which is like the one that they bring back, I want to say, like every year just about. Yeah.
Was Endless IP? No, we looked this up. We had this recently.
Yeah, Endless. I think Endless was out 1 year. And then it did the Green Mile thing and went and they, right? Like it was our thing. It's like the beers they make, and it kind of makes sense, right? The beers that they're making at Fulton are just kind of like the test kitchen, if you will. Yeah. And then the ones that pop, boom, they're off. They're being canned off at the other facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Whew.
Now I'm just thinking that they should do a Green Mile beer and go with the goes and have that salty, like salty tears kind of.
Brad's all over this Green Mile thing, man. What else?
I just couldn't believe it. I was like.
What else is the news? Oh, yeah. Speaking of prohibition, man. Oh, God. Speaking of prohibition. The Smithsonian Channel has this. There's a two-part documentary out, Drinks, Crimes, and Passion. Right?
Okay.
It's about Prohibition, the 13 years in Prohibition, and how shitty it was, and the and the unintended impact it has currently on society. It's actually pretty good, man. I didn't know Smithsonian Channel was a channel. I didn't know it was a channel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's funny because like you know, it says 9 days into FDR's term after Herbert Hoover proceeded over like Prohibition times, 9 days in, beer sales legalized. Boom.
Yeah.
Like out the gate. Like it was part of his platform. Like, you guys want booze? Hey, let's get this asshole out of here.
Get me in.
Yeah. Yeah. It talks about Capone. It talks about the Chicago connection. And it's interesting. It's interesting. I didn't understand that Prohibition was like, you can't import, export, you can't manufacture, but drinking it's legal. Like,
right.
The point is, there's still more to learn about Prohibition. And if you're interested in some shit on cable to watch, that would be good. Drinks, Crimes, Passion, Smithsonian Channel.
Right. But you couldn't homebrew and you couldn't distill. Yeah. So the fact remained, like, how did you get that? Right.
And then, like, we were at an all time high with, like, it was like, you know, cocktail, like, what, you know, like the barware industry was at an all-time high during Prohibition, to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, nobody could make it, but everybody was, like, drinking it and, like, making things for it.
Right, and they found new cocktails to make, too, because they couldn't get certain things. So that's, where a lot of the cocktails came from, because they were coming up with new things to mix in as they got ingredients and things like that.
Very true. Mm. Yeah. Also in news, Dry Hop. Dry Hop turns 5 this week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're doing a bunch of events this week, so nice. Cheers to them. That happened really quick.
Yeah, I remember that burger. I haven't had that burger in a long time, but that burger was pretty good.
Yeah, you go there on Tuesdays and get the burger and a shot and a beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the best deals in the whole town.
10, 15?
Yeah, the barman special. Yeah, they're doing a can release. And their 5-year anniversary beer is a DDH Blonde Ale.
Okay.
Yeah, so cheers to Dry Hop. Let's see. What else is in news? Oh, Time Out Chicago Awards were last night.
Nice.
Yeah.
We won?
We did not win. Oh. But Lost Lake won. Lost Lake was Bar of the Year.
Nice. Okay. I feel like... I like can't remember if I've been to Lost Lake. Maybe not.
It's because you'll go broke hanging out in fucking Lost Lake. You want to spend $90 real quick.
It's a tiki bar?
Tiki bar.
Yeah, okay. Right over there in Logan Square, Lost Lake, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
The bar below the Lonesome Rose in Logan, they won Best New Bar.
Okay. I never went down there, but Lonesome Road, good spot. You have to go outside to go around for the Lonesome Road.
Lonesome Rose. Right on. Jester King is back in. They snuck back into Distro in Chicago.
They left?
They left. Because the only place you could really get Jester King beer was at West Lakeview Liquors.
Okay.
That's the only place I saw it. But now there's like a big push. Like I open up IG and then everyone all of a sudden has like the same Jester King beers.
Okay.
So they made a sneaky push back into the market. So good for them.
Do you know why they left?
I'd like to know more about this. I tried to dig into it and see who was distributing them. Maybe they're just doing it on their own. They do have Chicago ties. One time I went to Jester King, one of the co-founders was there giving a tour in the middle of summer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he has Chicago roots. So they've always been fond of the market.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I'd like to know more about that. Like what beers they're bringing, who they're rolling with, what are their goals for Chicago, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Cause some of their stuff I really dig. Spawn, I really dig.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've had Jester King, but yeah. I remember him being in like large format bottles. Done anything different? Are they in 4-packs or 6-packs now?
Yeah, I think when I think Jester King, I think you know, just really elegant, nuanced, like light ABV, you know, farmhouse ales.
Yeah,
you know, with really cool artwork and really fun bottles. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a must if you're in Austin. Check out Jester King.
Okay.
Yeah, Beta Bra, man, a crew we've had on this show at least twice.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like they're for sale. You know, this was a rumor at like Dark Lord Day, we talked about it, and maybe a couple weeks before that, you know, hey, Beta Brow's looking to sell all their stuff.
Bam.
Yeah. So
that's not good.
That doesn't sound good at all. Apparently, the tap room is closed and they stopped making beer.
Okay.
So something's afoot.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe they're. That was a big space, and I think the space across the street was vacant. Maybe they're planning to like. Build something up there, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of Chicago's, everything's getting built up everywhere. So maybe that location was prime.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right off the expressway, 25,000 square feet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But they invested a lot into brewing equipment down there. Like, you know.
Yeah. That's like, a lot of equipment to be up for sale, right?
Yeah. I imagine like there might be some sort of, because, you know, we talked about, well, if you look at craft breweries, either selling completely or joining, a lot of them are joining forces, mm-hmm. right, to avoid selling to a bigger company. My guess is that you might see something like that, maybe, you know? There's a rumor that Forbidden Root's looking to get out of their Five Rabbit deal. Forbidden Root might slide into that space. Who knows? Who knows? Mm. But for one thing we know for sure is that
Beta Brow's done.
Beta Brow's, as we currently know it, is it might be done because they quit making beer and they closed the tap room until the sale's done.
Okay.
So we'll see. Like, it's interesting. It's interesting that they're able to keep it quiet. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I saw an article over the weekend, and that was about it.
Yeah. Yeah. This would be the third. If it closes for good, this would be the third time.
So the Beta Brow closed?
Yeah. So the original Beta Brow mm-hmm. was in Elmhurst. He went bankrupt. Goose Island bought the rights to the beer. They won at JBF, and then they stopped making that beer because they want to focus on beers, Goose beers. Yeah. So this would be the third time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Bummer.
Surly Darkness, the annual
October release.
Yeah, October release. They announced their variants this year, man. Barrel-aged rum coconut, barrel-aged cherry vanilla, and barrel-aged fernet.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, I don't think, we've both been to Darkness Day. I don't think I've seen those. All I've seen is barrel-aged.
Like, yeah, the variants, you know, Goose Island does it, Three Floyds does it, so I think they're just trying to keep up, right? Mm.
For sure. The Illinois Craft Brewers Guild Friday Night Lights series is coming back.
Oh, Flights. Friday Night Flights.
What did I say? Friday Night Lights?
Lights, yeah.
Yeah, Friday Night Flights. You're right. Yeah, this is basically like a pop-up craft beer fest in different neighborhoods across Chicago. It starts this weekend at Wrigley Field, man. There's a Gallagher. It's called Gallagher Way. It'll be at Wrigley Field on June 15th, and it runs through September.
Okay.
Yeah.
The one at Wrigley Field?
At Wrigley Field and Gallagher Way, they're going to have a pop-up craft beer festival.
Okay.
I think it's $20 at the door. Yeah, and they're doing it every Friday, and it'll rotate.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. And it's in the park.
Right. No, it sounds like it'll be like, you know, like right next to the park. Because, okay. You know, Lucky Door, that bar right there that has like a...
I don't know. I haven't been over there since it like all blew up.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they all of a sudden they got like a big star and a hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they got like this new concourse and all these new buildings. Yeah. It's going to be over in that way. You know, and they're a little like... There's like a plaza.
Okay.
Where that's like, you know... They do cool stuff even if not on game days. I'm guessing it's going to be, like, near that.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Might have to check that out just to visit that area. Yeah,
yeah, right? It's fun because Lucky Door's a craft bar, and it's, like, literally, like, 200 steps from Wrigley Field.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Nice.
Right on, man. Dude, Anthony Bourdain died.
Oh, yeah. That was a sad one.
I think, like... Anybody who's like published any kind of content in the last 10 years, like, right? Like,
yeah, especially food, drinking, travel,
yeah,
culture. I guess, yeah, you know who Anthony, I think, yeah, it's a tough one because we all have welcomed him into our homes,
yeah,
kind of thing. It's
right, it's kind of guy that kind of made you want to follow your path with mm-hmm. regards to like travel, like you said, travel. And drink and food and really exploration.
Yeah. Right? The strange part of that one is I'll be in Paris this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's where he killed himself.
Yeah.
And we were watching Paris episodes with him, like, right after, because we're like, well, maybe we should watch these, right? And so it's a weird thought because he often talks about death too in a lot of his episodes. Really? He has like a weird thing about death and what it all means, so it's like this is weird.
yeah I caught something this week that talked about how, like, you know, he was on a trip with his parents in France and he had oysters for the first time, and that really what drove him. It was really the spark of an inspiration to follow a culinary path.
Yeah.
Was his trip to Paris and these oysters in Paris.
I think Paris, France has like a weird connection to family for him and whatever mental illness or whatever he was going through. Being there triggered it all, or maybe he had planned for, who knows. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll never know, right?
Yeah, there's a dude that started, like, you know, as a line cook after training to be a chef, right?
Mm-hmm.
Became a chef and then wrote a book and then kind of never looked back.
Yeah.
You know, inspirational. Did all this shit in his 40s. His start was in his 40s.
Really? Yeah. You know?
Yeah, he was, like, totally. He was kind of, like, he was edgy and kind of punk rock, right? And that's why we all kind of related to him. But then he was poetic enough to have shows on, like, CNN and shit like that. So, yeah. I see that dude, and I would always. I think we all saw that dude, and was like, "Man, that's cool as fuck what he's mm-hmm. doing." So
he wasn't a big craft beer fan.
He was more
just like he didn't really care. Like alcohol wasn't. I think he always cared more about the food. The drink was not something he like thought much about.
Yeah, yeah, which I kind of get, you know, mm-hmm. like because yeah, he's changing gears. Like, you know, the royal family, right? They get married. They're not going to have beer. Likely, they're not going to have beer at their wedding.
No.
Like, you know, like we fuss over beer because we see beer as food. But I don't think everyone should. Clearly, everyone doesn't share that, mm-hmm. you know. Like, we fuss over beer. Like, a lot of food people don't, probably. Yeah. But yeah, Anthony Bourdain, man.
Yeah. Nick, ending it on a downer. Just the tears are flowing with Green Mile and Anthony Bourdain. And yeah, it's a rough one. All right, we should get out of here then. Where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version too, although the camera died. On this episode,
is that what the click was?
So there's no video version of this because it was like 5 minutes of the episode, but that's fine. We are a podcast that just happens to have video sometimes.
True.
All right, we'll be back next week. Another episode. Take care.
Cheers.